We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Faye. With me, my guy, Jack Manuel. The Nets may stink, but this should be a good podcast.
There was a wave at Barclays Center during a basketball game, Nick. A freaking wave. Where are we? What are we doing? We're actually recording. It's good to be back with my guy.
Yeah, it's been a rough season, Jack. It's been a rough few weeks, a rough couple recaps, a rough couple podcasts. But here we are. We're going to jump into it. As always, check the buzz on all streaming platforms. But where do you want to go?
Let's go. Some of the questions, Nick, we got from Cypher. What players do you think are Nets are likely to request a trade this offseason? Can't imagine a lot of guys want to be here. Now, look, there are plenty of, like, Nick Claxton, obviously, unrestricted free agent. I chatted about on Nets Fans You Know podcast a little bit about his status moving forward. There's Dorian Finney-Smith, who is, you know, on 1 year left on his contract. Mikal Bridges, obviously a few years for him. Cam Johnson recently re-signed. I don't know. And like Dennis Schroeder, I think, has one more year left on his deal too, Nick. So I think we, outside of, you know, Cam Thomas, De'Ron Sharpe, Noah Clowney, Dariq Whitehead, like we could be looking at a completely different team next year. Now, in terms of requesting a trade, it could be Mikal Bridges. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, no one on the Nets has enough pull to request a trade, like in terms of like demanding a trade and actually getting it. I think if the Nets were to go like the tanking route and they traded a lot of their good players, like, you know, let's say they trade Mikal and they trade Cam Johnson, maybe DFS behind closed doors asked to be moved or something like that. I doubt Mikal Bridges asked to be traded. I'd be really surprised. I mean, he hasn't played well, but if the plan is to, you know, get more help in the offseason and not go a rebuilding route, then I think they could probably convince him to stay. He doesn't seem necessarily like a guy that would do that. And after you get after him, you know, like I said, not many guys are established enough, and they'd probably be happy to be on a bad team because there might be more opportunities. If, you know, Cam Thomas was benched for the rest of the season or something like that, maybe he'd request a trade. But I think he's probably pretty happy where he's at in terms of minutes and workload for the most part. Obviously, would love to play, you know, final possession of games and things like that. But overall, you know, he's getting his shots, he's getting the ball, and getting a chance to showcase the skills.
Outside of like who's going to request a trading, I want to ask you just in general to forecast about the team composition heading into the 24-25 season. Who can you guarantee anyone will be on this team? I think I could somewhat guarantee Mikal Bridges, but I that's probably the most confident player I could be given everything we've heard. But then we also have heard many, many rumblings around his status from other teams as well. Like, it's basically the rookies and even like with Cam, like Cam is likely, if he's going to go to, you know, Mitchell, Young, these sort of guys, can you guarantee the status of any Nets players next year? What's the roster going to look like? If we can't even think about that, Ben Simmons, is he guaranteed? He's like, no one else is going to want him.
Dariq Whitehead, Jalen Wilson, I think are locks. You know, Dariq Whitehead coming off injury is not going to be traded. Jalen Wilson, a second round pick, doesn't really have much value. You know, Noah Clowney, probably pretty close to a lock, but part of me thinks he could be like filler in a trade. Maybe if they're trying to get like that extra little piece and trying to get every bit of scraps to kind of upgrade this team. But after that, you know, you could convince yourself there's multiple different timelines. You know, we could be talking a complete rebuild where Mikal, Cam Johnson, DFS, Schroeder all get, you know, sent out of here, or they could be going for star hunting, which obviously seems to be the direction that they're trending towards in terms of what we've heard from Marks and Cy and all those different things and the way they've handled this, you know, terrible season. That Cam Thomas, like you said, could be the key piece in one of those trades. And the whole Nick Claxton thing is a mystery. At this point, doesn't seem like he's going to be back. So, yeah, it's tough. Like you said, you know, rookies are really the only guys that feel confident they'll be in Brooklyn and they could extend their lease another year.
Yeah, and look, you discussed a little tidbit on the star sort of hunting, and it sort of relates a little bit to the couple of questions we got from Bridges Over Everybody and Aces on Twitter. Both of them asked, which players should the Nets look to go after in the offseason? And the other one asked, who can the Nets get to come play with Mikal? Are the Nets attractive enough? Are the Nets attractive enough? Absolutely not. Like, I can just say that plainly and simply, and you and I have discussed together, separately, individually, that when you are talking about free agent destinations, yeah, Brooklyn is cool. Yeah, New York is cool. But the New York Knicks are much cooler. There's the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's Dallas Mavericks. There's like so many other teams. Philadelphia are going to have a lot of space. There are so many other teams that are more attractive propositions to what the Brooklyn Nets are right now. Now, some people might just have a strong desire and their mates with you know, Donovan Mitchell is the name that comes up most frequently. You know, he's very good friends with Mikal Bridges. But in terms of are the Nets attractive enough? No. But give me some players/stars the Nets should be looking at, should go after when come the offseason. Because, I mean, all we can hope for now at Nick is the future, because getting through this season has been a grind.
Yeah, and like you said, most likely it would be through trade, so the Nets could, you know, create leverage. They don't have to be the top destination. They just have to be within, you know, the top 5 to 7. I think they're attractive to maybe someone who doesn't want to go to the Knicks. You know, you come to mind is like Trae Young. You know, Trae Young's not going to go play with Jalen Brunson in New York. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So maybe he wants to come to Brooklyn. He's on a pretty bad team as well. You know, I think what you're looking for is someone who's, you know, having a limited role in their current team. Like, they're getting pushed maybe from the second star to the third star and they're looking for a bigger role, or someone who's on a bad team, wants to go to a bigger market, get a change of scenery. That's kind of what you're hoping for. Like you mentioned, Donovan Mitchell, you know, Trae Young. Pains me to even say this out loud. I just think it's possible. Zach LaVine. You know, I think that would be a guy that the Nets would look at, just because they're trying to flip the switch so fast that they're going to take a huge risk on a guy that might not be good. You know, before the season, you thought maybe Karl Anthony Towns, but the way Minnesota like was playing before he was injured, you know, they're feeling really good about where they're at. So it's limited in what's available. It's most likely going to be an aging star or someone who doesn't necessarily have great value, or a contender doesn't see how they fit on their roster or worth the trade. You know, it's most likely going to be some level of an overpay from the Nets to land somebody because they're not in the best situation on the basketball court, and, you know, front office and ownership, there's a ton of question marks. The one thing they have going for them is they play in Brooklyn, New York, and they play at Barclays Center.
Yeah, and the fact that they were relying solely, basically were solely on that fact. Like, we compare back to the 16, 17 days, and, you know, 18, 19, 19, 20, and luring Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. That situation was eons better than where the Nets are.
They had a real culture, you know, yes. Lack of a better word. You know, there was a mentality, there was a certain type of vibe in Brooklyn, and it was, you know, just the overall feel for the players, even the guys that weren't playing, the way they interviewed, the way they talked about the situation, they were able to find a group that really gelled, you know, from a non-basketball perspective. And I think, you know, this team doesn't gel on the court or off the court.
Yeah, Jared Allen, I think, spoke about it on, it might have been JJ Redick's pod, one of the player pods, speaking about just that vibe and that community.
And you could see it when he talked about the team, like the excitement, and just like it was special. It was a special team, and it was a really fun team to cover, you know, substantially more fun than this team. I mean, there were stretches in that season that were terrible, but there were stretches that were great. You know, you think about that comeback win in Sacramento.
Kings. Oh, man, that's one of the most memorable pods you and I have ever done. I literally remember my reaction. But in terms of like the guys that you're
the good old days,
the good old, man, we're literally harking to the good old days, the Quincy AC days, the Grievous Vasquez days. But in all honesty, I agree with all the names that you did bring up. And one that I saw rumored rumbling around was Paul George.
Yeah,
by John Hodge
that's
of The Athletic.
When I said the aging star that's kind of getting pushed out, you know, that was kind of some clues for him.
Now, look, if we're talking about the players that you just alluded to, Paul George is basically everything that Mikal Bridges hopes to be, you know, in terms of
he
like
has an actual, like, somewhat of a bag.
Yeah, and he's the look, he's had his playoff implications, he's had his playoff woes, and et cetera. He is aging, and there is a status. I saw someone, might have been Jay from BK of NetSpace, is sort of saying that, like, his partner lives in Queens or has ties to Queens. So there's a Brooklyn sort of connection there. And the fact that he hasn't, John Hollinger reported, the fact that he hasn't signed his extension yet is a little bit questionable in terms of what his status could be going forward. So those
the
are
Knicks are probably hunting for a star bigger.
Yeah, and look, they could be gone. For them, it's Embiid, it's Doncic, those sort of guys, and I don't think the Nets are anywhere in the realm of that unless Luka's like, I really miss Dorian Finney-Smith, and if that's the case, give Dorian Finney-Smith the DeAndre Jordan contract and lock up Luka for as long as he can. But in saying that, guys outside of that sort of, I'm literally on because I wanted to be prepared for this pod, free agent tracker, and like the Nets are in a position in terms of what could happen with Nick Claxton, re-signing these different people here and there. Like, DeMar DeRozan, does that do anything for you, Nick?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
No, but that would be something I could see the Nets doing. I don't think that would be a good move, but just as like a stopgap trying to sell tickets. Obviously, we also got the news this week about them making substantial upgrades to Barclays Center, especially in, you know, the high-end department. You know, it's definitely more for the big spenders there. So making sure you have a competitive product is definitely important. You know, it's harder to sell on a game when you have a game like tonight against the Pelicans, where it never really felt like the Nets had a chance. You know, every game you want to have a chance to win at least. So you're going to try to put together a competitive team. But it's really tough out there in terms of what's available. It felt like even this past summer, there might have been some guys that made more sense. Like we talked about in the offseason, swing on like Kristaps Porzingis. Like that would have been a really nice move for this team, especially if you're going this route, because he didn't cost much. He fits well with multiple different players and different styles of play. And he would have even been enticing with Claxton. And now you missed on that for free. You know, that's like, if you already knew last summer you were going this route this offseason, then the way they handled last offseason was pretty bad.
Yeah, look, we'll get to just the direction of the team in a little bit, but two other names I'll throw out there. Grayson Allen was a name that I saw talked about on Bleacher Report when I was doing a little bit of research for this. And Gary Trent Jr., who I think has somewhat of traction, because we have heard reports of that in the past, have we not?
Yeah, the Nets have had interest in him at different times. And like, Gary Trent at least, you know, does a little bit in terms of creating for himself. Grayson Allen is like a good 3-point shooter. He's had a really good season from three, but it's not necessarily doing a ton. I think like if they're going to try to do anything, like it has to be a guy that can create, score, and go do some things. Like DeMar obviously is past his prime, but at least he can go out there and like score 30 in a game and, you know, help you win a matchup. So I think other than that, it's just like really finding some like fringe level all-star that's probably getting overpaid. Like maybe Portland wants to get off Jeremy Grant. That seems
Anthony
like a guy.
Anthony Simons, maybe if they feel like
maybe
Scoot.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been rumors of him in the past, but a part of me just thought of like the future of thinking about DeMar DeRozan and Cam Thomas in the backcourt. I'm like, I could talk myself into that, Nick. I'd have fun with the mid-range hoops for days and days. And then we got that from KD and Kyrie. Those two were mid-range masters when they were in Brooklyn. But yeah, there needs to be some semblance of change. And I think in terms of change as well, Nick. We got a question from Lamont Hunt talking about in terms of, is there a list of top two or three names you'd want for the new GM once Marks is fired? Now, sure, Marks was speaking to a former executive of Brooklyn and currently in New Orleans right now, Trajan Langdon. That guy would be somewhere in my top three, I think, Nick. You know, Jeff Peterson obviously is now heading to Charlotte. So I think Nets that have had ties to the front office in the past. And the other name that springs to mind for me is Bob Myers. I think that's a pretty obvious one. But outside of that, are there any other names when it comes to GMs or, you know, should Sean Marks be fired? Are we being too rash here? Give me your thoughts.
No, get Sean Marks out of here. I think it's, you know, even if you wanted to say he's done an okay job, he's done a good job, he's gotten bad luck, like, hey, it's the NBA. You know, you have to have results. He doesn't have results. This team stinks. It stinks on multiple levels because there's no real forecast. There's no real benefit of this season. There was nothing achieved really for the most part. That wasn't, you know, quite obvious. So I think, and also the team needs a reset. The culture is bad. The vibes are bad. Everything's bad. And I think when you get to the GM, it really depends on what does ownership want to do. Do they want to develop? Do they want to go out free agent hunting and, you know, star hunting and get some big names? Or do they also, or do they want to do something maybe in between where they, you know, they don't want to get into a full rebuild, but they want to bring in someone with experience. So I think there's three different routes. They could go for somebody who's really had a focus in scouting and has really done a nice job of picking players in the draft, you know, maybe not exactly picking, but maybe they've led a department that's, you know, picked a ton of great, you know, great players in the first round, second round, or they could go with an agent, you know, a guy who, you know, like you mentioned, Bob Myers, he was previously an agent, Rob Pelinka, those guys maybe go the agent route if they're going star hunting. You know, that's the guy that you look for because they have the connections. And then if not, if you're just looking maybe for something in between, maybe you try to find like an executive from one of these teams that's been successful for a while. You know, you look at a team like Boston or Miami and see, you know, what have they been doing? You know, also, I think OKC is interesting. If you go the scouting route, obviously they've had some major success in finding the right players. They also have a ton of picks. So I think it's really about the mentality. And then as soon as you figure out the mentality and what you want, and obviously the mentality that it seems to be trending towards is, as we talked about, star hunting for the Nets. I think, you know, Josiah could go the agent route, and maybe that's, you know, somebody like Bob Myers, who's already done it. And if you give him the right pay, he'll come in. I think his contract with the Commanders, it was more of a temporary thing rather than a long-term contract, because he was working with the NFL for a little bit with that team. So we'll see how it all kind of plays out. But I think it'll say a lot about what Josiah wants.
Yeah, and look, I think that there are plenty of guys out there, as you alluded to, we spoke about a few names. You spoke about Boston. Mike Zarin, you know, I think has been with there and has been sort of really in on the analytics there and the data behind the scenes. So I think he'd be one to sort of look at. There's other names out there that, you know, Travis Schlenk in Washington after being with Atlanta. You know, you can talk yourself into that as well. So I think there are, and maybe you do something internally, because there was some rumors around the fact that the Nets were so desperate to retain Jeff Peterson that Sean Marks was going to get, you know, in a similar fashion to what's happening in New Orleans right now, like the executive VP of basketball operations. And then, you know, he gets a new title, Jeff Peterson. Whereas it's just like, why not just fire Sean Marks, keep Jeff Peterson, and let him figure out the rest of his front office? That's probably what I would have been a greater fan of. And he's off to greener pastures in Charlotte. But yeah, there has to be change. And it's funny because, you know, in the offseason, we were hearing rumors here and there of articles that has Sean Marks been extended? You know, we don't know what his contract is behind the scenes, and Josiah's already paying a heap of former coaches for Brooklyn. But yeah, something needs to change. The names that we've listed, the organizations that we've listed, something has to happen. There needs to be, and I think as well, when you're thinking about Detroit and Will Weaver, Will Weaver being on his way out, more than likely, Will Hardy, I got them two mixed up, but Troy Weaver on his way out of Detroit seems more than likely. That could leave an opening position for another GM to that sort of position where there's more opportunities available. So I think if you're the Nets, make the change sooner rather than later. And I think as well, we got this question from
Jack, just one more point too, is that also could force their hand in terms of what's available, you know, because if you're like a younger guy, you're looking developing talent, that kind of route, like, yeah, I'm going to go to Detroit. They already have, you know, Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, and other, you know, young players and first round picks in the future. So like, that's also what's going to hurt for the Nets, is like, Josiah's really going to have to spend the money. And like, part of me, you know, I just have to say this, is that like, there's a pretty solid chance that Josiah doesn't fire Sean Marks. Like, I think that's something that has to be said, not that we agree with it, just based off of what we know about the relationship and how they've been so, you know, tied and close throughout this whole entire process in the last year and a half.
Yeah, and
which is scary.
It is, but the reason why I maybe feel more, let's say, optimistic about it is because of that pressure that we saw post-trade deadline. Sean Marks was feeling the heat, and he felt it from the media, you know, the Nets brass, the Nets beat reporters were asking some great questions. And for me, that sort of was him being like, hey, man, like there's something going on here, and Josiah doesn't seem happy. And the Nets are now like, when it comes to their crowds, you know, the Zion dunk was what got the greatest roar tonight. You know, Steph Curry's getting those roars, LeBron James, all these sort of guys. So if you're Josiah and you're watching that, and we heard, you know, when it's against the Knicks as well, there's more Knicks fans there. Josiah has to be looking at the state of this franchise and saying something has to change. And look, if I'm not selling this team, then I've already fired a billion head coaches. Maybe I got to change something in the front office. Yeah. And whether that's under Sean Marks, we've already seen that change with Jeff Peterson leaving. Something has to change. So I'm probably like 50-50 in comparison.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I still have, I think you're still lingering that there's a chance that they can still all be together, which is not good. Just because, like you said, you listed all the facts and the reasoning why he shouldn't be here and he should not have the opportunity anymore to run the team, but rationale isn't always what happens.
No, it isn't. And, you know, we'll see how the direction does change. And I guess talking about even higher up, Nick, that ownership. And the final question that we got was from Matt Abramowitz. Talk about how the owner needs to look at the team and realize it's not working. It's not working. Yeah. Like, this is as dysfunctional a team in the NBA right now as there is. And the assets that they do have are external assets. They aren't even held by themselves. I mean, they've got like some Phoenix ones, some Dallas ones. And it's just like right now, the decision to not take that Mikal Bridges trade for the picks back from Houston, or however many picks back it was, Jalen Green, etc. After Jalen Green puts up another 40-point performance, he's been balling out of late. Like, look at everything that's happening around you, Joseph, and see and go, hey, man, my franchise is dipping in value. And the only way to do that isn't by retooling, quote unquote, it's by rebuilding. Invest in the team long term, 5 years' time. We've seen how it can come to fruition. There'll be some good picks. The Nets are good at drafting, whether it's Sean Marks or the guys around him. A rebuild is going to be a greater product and get greater investment from the fans. People want to turn up and watch Cam Thomas and Clowney and these guys sort of play, and some fringe sort of guys, Lonnie, Dennis Smith, Trent, and Watford, more so than seeing Cam Johnson and his $100 million contract and Mikal Bridges losing his handle time and time after again. Like, Josiah has to see this, and I'd love to hear from him personally. He was tweeting a lot back in the Kyrie KD days, but seems to be focusing a bit more on the lacrosse of late.
Yeah, and obviously very invested in the Liberty. I think also looking at this overall plan and what the Nets, you know, expected to happen this season, and then when they got to the deadline, it didn't happen, and there wasn't really any signs of them being successful. So at that point, it was just like, why didn't you pivot at the deadline? You know, you had a chance last offseason to make moves, because we heard about the offers from the Rockets last offseason. We also heard about the offers for Dorian Finney-Smith and Royce O'Neal at draft time. You know, the Nets potentially could have landed two more first-round picks if they leaned into this back at the draft last year. But and then they had the opportunity again at this deadline to probably walk away with at least one more first round pick if they traded DFS. I think there's at least one first round pick out there for him, and they don't make that trade. So, and then you hold on to Mikal. He's really regressed. He just looks off. Then the overall vibe of the team just isn't there. You know, like if they were going to go this route, it was almost like they needed to do more at the deadline to be competitive. If they were trying to really lean into next season, like maybe find someone who is semi-young or is not, maybe not in the best contract, bring them in, and then now you can make the play-in. But trying to go star hunting after having a lesser season than you had the year before, you know, last year, at least they made the playoffs and then they fall out. Then this year, they're not going to even make the play-in. That's just bad stuff.
Bad stuff indeed, Nick, but at least good stuff on the Buzz.
Yeah, good stuff on the Buzz, Jack. Really happy to be back with you on the Buzz. Appreciate everybody listening, sticking with us through this pretty terrible season. But always a pleasure, Jack.
Always a pleasure, mate.